The Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. Whatever stage your business is at, there's always time to imagine sustainable, positive change. AIB, for the life you're after.
Good morning. Coming up, Ireland Inc. How does our reputation stack up? A psychiatrist psychs us up to make new habits. And when Cozy and Cash sink. You can contact us by text to 51551, email the business at rte.ie or WhatsApp 087 032 3232. But first, as you heard there in the news, there were some dramatic events in the Venezuelan capital last night following overnight missile attacks on key Venezuelan military targets. In the last few minutes, President Donald Trump said that President Nicolas Maduro and his wife, as president of Venezuela, were captured. And early reports suggest there may have been a negotiated deal in which they left the country, but that's unconfirmed at this point in time. And Donald Trump is to hold a press conference at 4 p.m. Irish time, 11 a.m. Washington time, with further details. Where we're joined by Dan O'Brien, chief economist of the Institute of International and European Affairs. Dan, inevitably there will be political consequences and ramifications from this, and very initially serious questions over stability in the country and what happens next. But there will also be economic consequences. What kind of consequences or implications do you think there might be from this, whether it's in relation to oil price, and how might it be received in Europe, in the EU?
Well, I think there are three things, Richard, from a global perspective, European perspective. First of all, to say, let's hope there isn't sort of, it doesn't descend into civil war. There hasn't been great loss of life. The tens of millions of people live in Venezuela and have had a really tough time of it over the past few decades. But from a global perspective, Venezuela has got some of the biggest oil reserves in the world. It's a major source of both drugs for the global illicit drugs market and a place from which they leave South America. So I suppose how the oil markets react to it, what impact it has on drugs, will be some of the things that, you know, European leaders will be looking at. And I suppose how that plays out will very much depend on whether in everyone's hope that there would be a speedy democratic transition. The main leader of the opposition won the Nobel Peace Prize just a few months ago. Alternatively, these things, as we know, are very unpredictable, and they could send into civil war, and that would be a disaster for everyone.
Certainly. I think the other big thing. Yes, go ahead. Yep.
Sorry, just the final thing. I think a lot of Europeans will be looking at it saying this really does mark the end of the sort of post-1989 world order. You know, if you think back to the Iraq War, it was extremely controversial, but the U.S. At that time built up a big coalition. There were many countries that supported it, you know, from Canada and Denmark and many other countries. In this instance, there was not a pretense of coalition building. There was no going to the UN. This was simply might is right. And that European leaders would be saying, well, if this is what the U.S., how it behaves, what does that say send? What sort of message does that send to other countries that are powerful? Do they simply have the right to march into other countries and take out their leaders, however good or bad those leaders may be? But it marks a sort of, it might be the definitive end of the post-1989 order. And now we're into a new order of might is right.
Yeah, and defining what that new order will look like seems to be increasingly difficult, Dan. A year ago, when Donald Trump was sworn in, people would have said that because of the America First slogan and ideology, that America would look inward. But when you look at this regime change in Venezuela, you look at his recent comments about Iran, you look at the whole situation in Ukraine, it's far from an America First, America only, inward-looking regime and government, isn't it?
And then just to add, you know, America bombed Iran last year, something that sort of was inconceivable over the decades. So something else that the current administration has done that seems at odds with the sort of let's focus on our domestic problems. So it does seem as though the U.S., despite Donald Trump coming to office with very much this pledge to focus on domestic affairs and leave the rest of the world not get involved and not try and be this leader and dominant role, play this dominant role in the world. It's very much, you know, many of the things he's doing are in the area of foreign affairs and foreign policy. So one wonders how that will play out domestically within the U.S. But I suppose that's one of the lesser things
When it comes to the European Union and how it responds to whether it's economic or political moves by the Trump administration, it has been really struggling to find its feet because many would say that it rolled over too easily on tariffs. The leadership among the European Union will be looking at this as well, and they'll be thinking, look, even if they feel, well, Maduro, perhaps, you know, Venezuela is better off without him, perhaps it will free up greater international supply of oil, which would be good for energy prices. But they will certainly be looking at this very closely, won't they?
Oh, absolutely. And I suspect that, you know, what European leaders are going to do is sort of politely say that they support, you know, the multilateral world order and you know, mildly criticize this. But, you know, we saw last year that Europe, when it comes to taking on the U.S., even in economic areas where we once thought Europe would go toe-to-toe with the U.S., that Europeans realize that, you know, U.S. under such an unfitful and dominant leader, and given our dependency on the U.S. for security, that Europeans really don't have a strong hand to play. So I suspect it's going to be muted. There'll be a lot of concern about this. What it means for, you know, those powerful countries doing what they want in the world, but there won't be much of a reaction in Europe because we simply can't afford to get it alongside of Trump.
When you look at it from an Irish perspective, we will have the EU presidency later this year. There's been a lot of focus on our own defence and security spending. And after the drones at the time of the Zelensky's visit to Ireland, a lot of question marks over whether or not we'd be in a position to safely secure a lot of visiting leaders as part of that presidency to Ireland. I mean, how important do you think what's at stake now, especially as well? How important will that 6 months be for Ireland in that presidential role?
Look, I think the presidency, you know, is a significant role, but I think it often gets overstated in terms of what we can actually, any country can actually do with it. Denmark has just handed over to Cyprus with a 6-month rotating presidency of the European Council. You know, is anyone claiming that Denmark has advanced its interests greatly because it's at the helm? You know, I don't think it's going to be the same for Cyprus either. So, you know, there are advantages to having the presidency, but I think we often tend to sort of over-focus on it, particularly, and that's a habit in small countries because they get a chance to sit in the chair, or not even sit in the chair anymore, but to some extent sit in the chair. But I wouldn't overly state it on the specific issue of whether leaders feel safe to come here. That will be, you know, a very symbolic moment if it turned out that intelligence services in the national capitals around Europe told their leaders it is simply not safe for you to fly into Dublin because they can't make sure that the plane won't be struck by drones. That would be a really embarrassing moment if that were to happen. So, you know, fingers crossed that we don't get into that position. It certainly wouldn't be good for Ireland.
Economically, 2025 was a very uncertain year. However, when we came to the end of that year, the Irish economy and Ireland's position, despite all of the uncertainty, has come through that period pretty well. We're still in a relatively strong position going into 2026. Where do you see the big threats or the big risks to that economic position in the year ahead?
Yeah, well, let's just be positive, Richard, and say, you know, that again, the Irish economy has come through yet another shock in this decade in a reasonably, you know, showing good resilience. Growth did slow down from the spring of last year, but nothing sort of dramatic, nothing signaling a downturn, just maybe a slowdown with capacity constraints in the economy. Going into the new year, you know, you've just got to be reasonably optimistic given how strong the economy has been and how resilient it's been. There are, of course, you know, multiple risks. I think most of those risks are external. Do you have a financial crisis? There's a lot of talk about bubbles in all parts, different parts of the global financial system. And for Ireland, there's always the concern about what the US might do under an unpredictable leader, given how dependent we are on the US in so many ways in terms of trade and investment.
Okay. Well, we'll have to leave it there. No doubt another interesting year ahead, given how it started. Dan O'Brien, Chief Economist at the Institute of International and European Affairs. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme.